John declares to us in the 14th verse of the first chapter of his Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's really been the theme of the past month for us, hasn't it, as we've worked our way through these Advent Sundays and have thought about the symbolism of the Advent wreath and the hope and the joy and the peace and the love that Christ has brought into the world through his coming. And on this Christmas morning, it is something of a challenge to think of something new to say, something that will mesmerize you with its insight into the circumstances and the purposes of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's beyond my skill to do such a thing this morning. I have exhausted myself over these past four Sunday mornings, and really there's very little else to say, I think. We're dealing with such familiar territory when we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do want to ask some questions of this text and remind ourselves of things that we are so familiar with that we're really in danger of fulfilling what the proverb says, familiarity breeds contempt. And we can lose the wonder of what happened 2,000 years ago in all the familiarity of the Christmas story. And I don't have any great expectations of presenting you with a new angle that will give you some new insight and fill you with awe this morning at the events that took place all those years ago. But here are some questions for us to contemplate briefly this morning. And the first one is this: from where did Jesus come? From where did he come? You know, John's writing this gospel primarily to Jews. That was his audience. Those were the people that he was writing to. And he would have been writing to a people who were reasonably familiar with Jesus, the person of Jesus, the historic reality of Jesus of Nazareth. They would have known about Jesus of Nazareth. He was probably writing perhaps in the 80s AD of the first century. And so, you know, some of these people may have witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Some of them may have heard the stories surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. Who was he? Where did he come from? And some of them will have said, well, he's a Galilean. Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, a little inconsequential town in Galilee. That's where Jesus came from. And when he was about 30 years old, suddenly there was a growing movement of people who were following him around Galilee and listening to all that he had to say. He had a remarkable way of communicating with people through stories, familiar scenes in everyday life, and he brought heavenly truths to bear. And people lapped up everything that he was saying, and he had this huge following. Thousands of people would follow him. And curiously, he was able to perform amazing miracles, this man from Nazareth. And that's what many of the people would have thought. He's a Galilean. That's where Jesus came from. And others, perhaps, who had a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more understanding, perhaps they'd read Luke's Gospel or Matthew's Gospel. And they knew, no, well, actually, originally, Jesus came from Bethlehem. That's where he was born. That's where his ancestral line called their home. Bethlehem, the city of David. That's where Jesus was from. And he fulfilled various prophecies, they might have said. He fulfilled the prophecies concerning the root of Jesse, the great David's greater son. He was the promised king who would come. And he was born in Bethlehem to be the deliverer of his people. And that's what they would have said. He came from Bethlehem. And some others might have gone even further back and said, well, actually, yes, that's true. He grew up in Nazareth in Galilee, though he was born in Bethlehem in Judea. But really, you know, Jesus had already been in this world. He'd already come to this world. He's a prophet who has reappeared into this world. Many people during the life of Jesus were saying, you know, I think Jesus is Elijah. He's come back as God had promised. And that's why he can do these amazing miracles. You know, Elijah was a great miracle worker. He did amazing things. And Jesus, he's a great miracle worker as well. And Elijah, he was a great teacher. He was a prophet from God. And Jesus, well, he's a great teacher as well. I think they're both one and the same. That's what some people were saying about Jesus. Jesus is Elijah, or he's one of the other prophets. But the reality is that we need to go even further back than that. And in some senses, we could say that Jesus had been in this world before. Because, as John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And as we read those verses, you cannot help but hear echoes, can't you? They're resounding echoes of things we've heard before. They're repeating a message that we've heard before. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. And he breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and he became a living being. Those are the words that we hear echoed by John in this gospel. Jesus has been here before, because Jesus is the Son of God, through whose words the world came into existence, and by whose breath man received the spirit of life. With whom was it that Adam walked in the garden in the cool of the day? It was this one, who millennia later reappeared in this world, not in the glory of his divinity now, but humbled, made flesh, incarnated, a part of the creation that he made, subjecting himself to its limitations, to its laws, and to its rules. The self-existent God that breathed life into this world is born of woman, born flesh. That's where Jesus has come from. He's come from eternity past, and he's come into our time. He's come from the infinity of pre-creation, and he's come into the finite world of mankind. This is where he's come from. He's come from God to man. But we can ask another question. We can ask, to what did Jesus come? Yes, he came from God to man, but to what did Jesus come? When he made this world, when he breathed life into this world, when he called light into the darkness, when he separated the waters, when he caused the plants to grow, when he created all the living creatures of the air and of the earth and of the seas, and he saw all that he had made, he said, and it is very good. But when he came again into this world as the man of Galilee, he walked the streets of Jerusalem and he walked the lanes of Judea and Galilee, and as he observed everything going on around him, he would not have said, and behold, it is very good. Rather, he would have said, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is no one who does good. Not even one. There is no one who seeks God. And as he lived in this world, he lived in a world that was at enmity with its creator, at war with its maker. The Son of God came to man, yes, but he came to a rebellious man. He came to a wicked man, a sinful man, a self-centered man. He came into this world, a word that John over and over uses in a negative sense, a fallen world, a sinful world, a corrupt world, a decaying world, a dying world. And he came into this world that John also pictures as being a dark world. Yes, the sun rises every morning. It rises and it fills the world with light, and yet it doesn't, because this world lives in the darkness of sin, in the blindness of self-centeredness. And Jesus came. Jesus, who is light and life, shone into the darkness of this world. He shone the light of truth into this world, the light of life into this world. Jesus came into a world that was dead in order to bring life. He came into a world that was dark in order to bring light. He came into a world of sin in order to bring holiness and righteousness. He came into a world of deceit and lies in order to bring truth. He came into a world of hopelessness in order to bring hope. Jesus came into what we call a fallen world. And a world that was so far fallen that it could not mend itself. It had fallen so far into the pit of corruption and deadness and decay that there was no way that it could climb out of it itself. It could not reach out to life and grasp hold of it itself. But God had to come into this world of corruption and death, and he had to bring life back to this world, a world that he had made so full of vitality and that had corrupted itself and killed itself through its rebellion against him. Jesus came to a world of sin and death. And why? Why did he come? He came to bring the grace of God. He came to bring the mercy of God. He came to bring the love of God. For God so loved this world that he sent his own Son God looked on this world of rebellion and sin, and he reached out with a flag of peace, says to this world, come to me. Come to me. And I'll give you rest from this warfare. I will bring peace to your life. I will reconcile you to myself. Come to me, he says. Jesus came into this world to restore the relationship that had been broken in Eden by Adam's refusal to submit to the word of God. He came into this world to reveal the true nature of God to men. John makes it clear that Jesus came into this world not to judge, but to save. Not to condemn, but to restore. And while he did utter words of condemnation, and while he did judge this world for its refusal to acknowledge God and submit to God, it was all for the purpose of highlighting the sin and corruption of men's hearts so that they would turn from that sin and plead with God for forgiveness. Jesus came into this world to bring grace to this world. John says, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Now, bearing in mind that John's writing to the Jews, this phrase can be understood in the fact that God had already been so gracious to them in revealing so much of their own nature, their own corruption, and their own need through the giving of the law, and had presented to them a sacrificial system that provided for them clues as to how they could be reconciled to God through repentance and faith in his word. And that was the grace of God to this world through Moses. But now a prophet like Moses has come, who brings not only types and shadows, but brings the reality. This is grace upon grace, isn't it? Grace replacing grace. This is a fullness of grace and truth that we see in Jesus Christ. Because he brings about actual reconciliation between sinners and their creator, between fallen man and the holy God. Why did Jesus come into this world of corruption and sin and darkness and death? Why did he bother to come into this world of hostility and rebellion? He came in order to bring reconciliation. He came in order to save. And this is the great message, isn't it, of the coming of Jesus. It's a coming to save from the corruption, to reconcile us to God. God became flesh, that we who are flesh might be reconciled to God. And this is what the Word has made known. The Word that was in the beginning, the Word who was with God, the Word who is God. This one has made known to us through his coming the truth of God's love, the truth of his mercy, the truth of his saving grace to those who will come to him. And at the center of John's message of the coming of Christ and the work of Christ is the call to receive him. There it is in verse 12. To all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. No longer enemies of God. No longer those who are estranged from God. But those who are brought back to God. adopted into the family of God, made inheritors of the glory of God. Jesus has come this morning, and he comes to us here. And with all the familiarity of the Christmas story, there continues to be a further question. Have you received him? Have you received him? You've received gifts, no doubt. You've had your gifts, or you anticipate when you get home opening your presents, and you're so glad to receive those gifts from mum and dad and from aunts and uncles and others. But have you received the gift of God? The gift of Jesus Christ? The gift of salvation through faith in him? You know, this is the greatest gift of all. And in the end, all the other gifts, as nice as they are, they don't last, do they? And they don't make you happy forever, do they? They break, they get lost, they wear out, they're forgotten. But here's a gift that is eternal. Here's a gift that lasts forever. Will you receive the Word of God who was made flesh? Will you receive Jesus as your Saviour this morning and have something that is truly worth celebrating on this Christmas morning? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the coming of Jesus into this world. The Word made flesh. We thank you that he came willingly into a world of sin in order to save sinners from condemnation and to reconcile them to you. We thank you that we can celebrate his birth this day and all that that means for a fallen world. We pray, Almighty God, that as some of us here have received him and rejoice in knowing him as our Saviour and our King, we pray, Almighty God, that you would be gracious to others here who have not yet received him. May they be given the grace to reach out and take hold of this greatest of gifts, the gift of God to fallen men. We ask in his precious name. Amen.